Mae'r blodau yn yr ardd yn hardd. Mae'r hosyn ger y drws yn glws. Olyd yw'r blodau.
It's Mama D, and you are listening to Coffee, Tea, and Mama D, and it is another wonderful Wednesday.
She's like a swallow that flies so high, like a river that never runs dry, like the sunshine on the lee shore. She loves her love, and love is no more. Out in meadow this fair maid did go, picking a love
Let's see, what's in the news today? How about this? That's not what's meant by extra credit. Ann Arbor, Michigan. Students at a University of Michigan biology project had been assigned to grow herbs, vegetables, annuals, and perennials. Police are trying to find out whether someone's green thumb also was being used to grow pot. The Ann Arbor News reports 11 small green plants believed to be marijuana were seized from a greenhouse in the school's Matai Botanical Gardens in Ann Arbor Township near its Ann Arbor campus. Police say a school employee found the plants Monday on a table while monitoring the research project. The plants were mixed in with the project, which involves about 80 students. Samples were sent to Michigan State Police for testing. Wow. Silly students. What can I say? Silly students.
Hey, mister, see that sister? Don't you laugh, I thrilled you. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but men on looks could kill you. Oh, oh, hey, come my way. Suka, suka, na, na. Come on, come on, eh, sale, ale. Where the suka, suka, mama. Hey, brother, there's another suka, mama, turning. The sun will rise and light in your eyes. Fire keeps on burning. Oh,
this DVD in firefighter's coat pocket blocks bullet. A South Carolina man is thankful for a DVD that ended up taking a bullet for him. Colton County Fire and Rescue Director Barry McRoy said he was leaving a Waffle House in Waterboro on Sunday morning when two men ran in fighting over a gun. Police say a bullet hit one of the struggling men, shattering a window, and then hit McRoy. The bullet hit a DVD McRoy was carrying in his pocket. He suffered a bruise but didn't realize he'd been shot. As he told a police officer what happened, he noticed a bullet hole in his jacket, the shattered DVD case, and a piece of the bullet. "I was saved by a DVD," McRoy says. "How lucky can you get?" One man was arrested on assault and battery and gun charges. The DVD was nicked. It was a gift from an employee who had recorded a TV show about fire extinguishers. That's just lucky. That is just lucky, as far as I'm concerned.
So green. his last cry. If you were here, lovely Nancy, I'd be willing to die. And as I told her this story, in anguish she flew. And the more that I told her, the paler she grew.
Dancing to the jailhouse rock. He's a dancing to the jailhouse rock. This is one Elvis impersonator who is definitely singing the blues after Tampa police charged him with fraud. Authorities say Elvis tribute artist Frederick Denmark told people his house had burned so that they would organize a benefit concert. The concert, held at American Legion Post 138 in September, raised more than $2,000 in cash, as well as clothes and household items. Oh, good Lord. But police say there never was a fire. And now Denmark, 47, who performs under the name of Fred Alberts, is charged with felony organized fraud and felony grand theft. Denmark of Fort Lauderdale is free on $4,000 bail. Boy, oh boy, that really's gotta suck.
Warden threw a party in the county jail. The prison band was there and they began to wail. The band was jumping and the joint began to swing. You should have heard those knocked out jailbirds sing.
Okay, see, now, there's being an anti-smoker, and then there's this guy. A virulent anti-smoker in Germany was so angry when his girlfriend lit up, he emptied a fire extinguisher to put out the cigarette, caking her and their apartment in powder. My colleagues said it looked like a bomb had gone off in there, said a spokesman for police in the western city of Bielefeld. He managed to put the cigarette out, though. After the woman ignored his request not to smoke, the 42-year-old sprayed the contents of the extinguisher all around the flat, shouting abuse, police said. He said he wasn't bothered by the damage it caused, the spokesman said, and that he's through with his girlfriend. You know what, buddy? I think she just might be through with you. I sure would be.
They ask me how I knew my true love was true. Oh, I of course replied, something here inside cannot be denied. Someday you'll find all who love are blind. Oh, when your heart's on fire, you must realize smoke gets in your eyes. I chaffed them, then I gaily laughed to think they could doubt my love. Yet today my love has flown away. I am without my ride. Tears I cannot hide. Oh, so I smile and say, when a lovely flame dies, smoke gets in your eyes. Smoke gets in your eyes.
You know, wow, people really get weird when they're in relationships. That's all I have to say about that. Well, you know what? Next up, you're going to hear me. I don't often give out recipes, but it's Heart and Stroke Month. And I got this wonderful booklet here called Healthy Habits and Healthy Weight. And it provides this recipe for Southwest tortilla soup. And we had this for supper last night. I've got to give you the recipe because, oh my, it's really good. Okay, are you ready for this? Here are the ingredients. 2 teaspoons of extra virgin olive oil. 1/2 cup of chopped onion. 2 garlic cloves minced. I used 4. I like garlic. 1 tablespoon tomato paste. 1/4 teaspoon ground cumin. I used a little more. 1/2 teaspoon chili powder. I used a little less. 4 cups vegetable or chicken broth, 1 1/2 cups canned tomatoes coarsely chopped, 1 medium zucchini diced, 1 cup fresh or frozen corn kernels, 2 tablespoons fresh lime juice, salt and freshly ground pepper to taste, 1 cup grated light cheddar cheese, 2 tablespoons chopped fresh coriander, and 1/2 cup coarsely broken baked corn tortilla chips. And it's easy. You heat the oil in a large saucepan, add the onion and garlic, and saute until it's soft. That's about 5 minutes. Add the cumin, chili powder, vegetable or chicken broth, tomato paste, and canned tomatoes. Bring it to a boil. Reduce the heat and simmer for 10 minutes, stirring occasionally. Then you add the zucchini and corn, simmer for another 10 minutes, add the lime juice, and stir. Season with salt and freshly ground pepper to taste. Ladle soup into bowls or refrigerate until ready to serve. Then sprinkle with the grated cheese and chopped coriander and top with tortilla chips before serving. This was so good. I can't tell you. Rob and I both had 2 bowls of soup last night for supper. It was just wonderful. So thanks to the Heart and Stroke people for this lovely little booklet here. It's chock full of yummy and good for you recipes. And what can I say? It is wonderful.
When the world is gray and bleak, baby, don't you cry. I will give you every bit of love that's in my heart. I will bake it up into a simple little pie. Baby, don't you cry. Gonna make a pie. Gonna make a pie with a heart in the middle. Baby, don't be blue. Gonna make for you. Gonna make a pie with a heart in the middle. Gonna be a pie from heaven above. Gonna be filled with strawberry love. Baby, don't you cry. Gonna make a pie.
Creatures found in Antarctica. Scientists investigating the icy waters of Antarctica said Tuesday they have collected mysterious creatures, including giant sea spiders and huge worms in the murky depths. Australian experts taking part in an international program to take a census of marine life in the ocean at the far south of the world collected specimens from up to 6,500 feet beneath the surface and said many may never have been seen before. Some of the animals far under the sea grow into unusually large sizes, a phenomenon called gigantism that scientists still do not fully understand. Gigantism is very common in Antarctic waters. Martin Riddle, the Australian Antarctic Division scientist who led the expedition, said in a statement, "We have a collection of huge worms, giant crustaceans, and sea spiders the size of dinner plates." Yum! The specimens were being sent to universities and museums around the world for identifications, tissue sampling, and DNA studies. Not all the creatures that we found could be identified, and it is very likely that some new species will be recorded as a result of these voyages. The expedition is part of an ambitious international effort to map life forms in the Antarctic Ocean, also known as the Southern Ocean, and to study the impact of forces such as climate change on the undersea environment. Three ships, the Aurora Australis from Australia, France's La Strobe, and Japan's Umitaki Maru, returned recently from 2 months in the region as part of the collaborative East Antarctic Marine Census. The work is part of a larger project to map the biodiversity of the world's oceans. The French and Japanese ships sought specimens from the mid- and upper-level environment, while the Australian ship plumbed deeper waters with remote-controlled cameras. In some places, every inch of the seafloor is covered in life, Riddle said. In other places, we can see deep scars and gouges where ice bags. Yes, they're dragging ice bags. Icebergs scour the seafloor as they pass by. Among the bizarre-looking creatures the scientists spotted were tunicates, plankton-eating animals that resemble slender glass structures up to a yard tall, standing in fields like poppies. Other animals were equally baffling. They had fins in various places. They had funny, dangly things around their mouths. They were all bottom dwellers, so they were all evolved in different ways to live down on the seabed in the dark. So many of them had very large eyes, very strange-looking fish. Scientists are planning a follow-up expedition in 10 to 15 years to examine the effects of climate change on the region's environment. Wow. Well, that's kind of cool.
Diga-me te falava com a cobra, o jabuti e o leão. Olha o macaco na selva. Não é macaco, baby, é meu irmão. Porém, durou pouquíssimo tempo essa incrível curtição. Pois o homem, rei do planeta, logo fez sua careta e começou a sua civilização. Agora já é tarde, ninguém nunca volta jamais. O jeito é tomar um foguete, é comer desse banquete para obter a paz. A gente tinha quando falava com os animais. Que a gente tinha quando falava com os animais. falava com a cobra, o jabuti e o leão. Olha o macaco na selva. Não é macaco, baby, é meu irmão. Porém, durou pouquíssimo tempo.
Okay, this one I've got to read. Blow up doll stands in for groom. If one bride felt lighter than air in her wedding gown, her groom certainly felt like air itself. As 19 couples renewed their vows near Columbus, Sheila Smith's husband, Bob, had to go away on business and couldn't make the Valentine's Day recommitment service at Grove City United Methodist Church. So friends brought a life-size inflatable doll to serve as a stand-in. They blessed. Oh, I have not had enough coffee, folks. They dressed Blow Up Bob in dress pants, a shirt, and a tie, and taped a headshot photo of the real Bob Smith. His wife was blown away because she thought she'd only be serving as matron of honor for four of her friends. After Sheila Smith phoned her husband to tell him about his air-filled alter ego, she wiped away tears as she told how he laughed so hard he couldn't speak.
Hey.
How's this for odd news? Church urges hanky-panky among members. A Southwest Florida church issued a challenge to its married members, hanky-panky every day. Relevant Church head pastor Paul Wirth issued the 30-day sex challenge to take on high divorce rate. And that's no different for people who attend church. Wirth said Sunday, "Sometimes life gets in the way. Our jobs get in the way." The challenge wasn't extended to unwed congregants, however. Well, you know. Bet you they're participating anyhow.
When we met, you weren't quite clear to me. What you had in store was there for only me. Sure, you know you took me by surprise. When I turned and looked, I saw that message in your eyes. There you were, out there on the floor. The way you move, girl, only made me want you more. I did not know you had been hypnotized to the movement of your body dancing in my eyes. I knew I had to hold you and make you mine. Don't want to control you, just have a good time in ecstasy. When you lay down next to me, oh no, no, ecstasy, yeah. When you lay down next to me, I find it hard for me to concentrate. If I don't make my move, girl, it might be too late. I've got to make sure you don't get away. After all you've done, girl, to make me wanna stay. All my life I've been searching for a star. Now my session's over, and here we are, living in ecstasy, yeah. When you lay down next to me, yeah, we're in ecstasy. When you lay down next to me, make you mine. Don't want to control you, just have a good time living in ecstasy. Well, when you lay down next to me, ooh, ecstasy. When you lay here with me, yeah, it's ecstasy. When you are here with me, yeah, oh, it's ecstasy. Lord knows when you're next to me, yeah.
Okay, some stories are just too silly for words. Mr. Rude is French and flatulent. London, zut alors! The popular British cartoon and television series Mr. Men has come up with a malodorous Mr. Rude who speaks with a bad French accent. "Pardon me," says Mr. Rude in comedy franglaise, as he breaks wind when his finger is pulled on a game played on the television show's website. That's at www.mrmen.com. "Oh, don't seem so surprised," Mr. Root exclaims when loud noises and a noxious-looking gas erupt from his behind. "I'll give you, Root," he says. He tells children as he blows a raspberry in a promotion for the new TV series, which will run on British television on February 25th. The French embassy in London declined to comment on whether the coarse Mr. Men character, the only one on the show with a foreign accent, would offend, but a source at the embassy told Britain's Daily Telegraph newspaper that this kind of humor won't go any distance toward easing a centuries-old rivalry between the two nations. It is obviously meant in a light-hearted way, but it didn't improve Anglo-French relations, the source said. Wow. Well, you know, I'll tell ya, those Brits, they just do whatever they want, and apparently wherever they want. Britain jailed for urinating on Latvian monument. A British man was sentenced to 5 days' detention on Tuesday for urinating on one of Latvia's most treasured monuments, and one of the country's ministers called such people pigs. A court official said the man, who denied the charges, would serve his detention in a police cell after being found guilty of urinating on the Freedom Monument. Erected in 1935, the monument is a 42-meter-high symbol of the Baltic states' resistance to foreign rule, which has included 50 years of Soviet occupation. Latvian state-owned news agency Leta quoted Interior Minister Marijs Sengelis as saying, "These English people are pigs. One fizzy bunch of pigs. People detained for acts of disrespect in the past have been fined. One man wearing a kilt uncovered his genitals at the monument last year." Wow. I got nothing. How about this? I just played you an excerpt from a New Zealand record, which is apparently for dogs only, and it's a doggone chart buster. A song audible only to dogs has topped New Zealand chart records, and it is looking to go global. A Very Silent Night, recorded at a frequency only dogs can hear, was so popular among owners it hit number one at Christmas, but has been receiving mixed responses from listeners. The most violent one was a dog that physically attacked the radio when it was played and went quite berserk and totally destroyed it. On the other side of the scale, they just lie down and did nothing. Wow, the charity CD, priced at New Zealand $4.99, contained an instrumental and a vocal version of the song, but Carriage said he did not know what kind of music dogs would hear. "Never having heard it myself, I don't know what they'll hear, and of course, I don't know how dogs hear music." Carriage added dogs in Australia and the United States could soon have a listen. Around 22,000 pounds have been raised by the disc's sale. No clue. I'm assuming that this is for the animal welfare group. This is to benefit the animal welfare group, the Society for the Protection of Animals, that this gentleman worked for. But that hasn't been indicated to me. Anyway, do I want one more? Do we want one more? Of course, we always want one more. Oh boy, here we go. A mystery in Vancouver, BC. Severed human feet. Police have found themselves with a gruesome mystery of why three human feet have washed ashore on islands in the Strait of Georgia on Canada's Pacific coast over the past 6 months. Investigators do not know who the victims were, when they died, or if foul play or an accident was involved. The cases all involved right feet, and the decomposing remains were still wearing sneakers. It is not known at this time what relationship, if any, this third foot has with the 2 feet recovered last year in the same area. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police said in a statement, "The first two were discovered in August and the third was found on February 8th. Each was found on a different island in the Strait of Georgia, which separates the mainland and the city of Vancouver from Vancouver Island. DNA testing on the feet found in August failed to link them with any missing persons case. The third foot is awaiting testing." That is just too weird. I mean, way, way, way too weird. How about this? 301 pennies auctioned off for $10.7 million. A penny saved is not necessarily just a penny earned. One man's collection of rare American cents has turned into a $10 million auction windfall. The collection of 301 cents featured some of the rarest and earliest examples of the American penny, including a cent that was minted for 2 weeks in 1793, but was abandoned because Congress thought Lady Liberty looked frightened. That coin and a 1794 cent with tiny stars added to prevent counterfeiters each raised hundreds of thousands of dollars, according to the Dallas-based auction house Heritage Auction Galleries, which held the sale in Long Beach on Friday. Heritage Auction President Greg Rohan said the auction was the biggest ever for a penny collection, with hundreds of bidders vying for the coins. Pre-sale estimates valued the collection at about $7 million. It was a fabulous night. Every major coin collector of American cents was either there in person, bidding online, or on the telephone. The coins came from the collection of Burbank resident Walter J. Husak, the owner of an aerospace part manufacturing company. Husak became interested in collecting at age 13 while visiting his grandparents, who paid him in old coins for helping with chores. There were 168 successful bidders, and the auction gallery got 15% of the total. Well, you know what, boys and girls? That is truly it for me. So I will say, ciao, Bella, and silly students, don't grow pot.